Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome. It is Monday, February 28th, the final day in February for this 2011. No leap year this year, if I check the calendar properly. My name is Aaron Dykes. I'm filling in for Alex. He's up in New York today. We just saw a segment on The View with ABC with over 30 million viewers talking about the Charlie Sheen incident. Alex will be popping in on the broadcast later to talk about that clip. We're going to play it for you just after the break. Of course, we're going to cover everything going on in the Middle East, primarily Libya, and everything about Gaddafi and the Eastern Rebel Forces, and whether or not the U.S. is going to intervene on a humanitarian or other pretext. We will also cover the refugees headed to Egypt and also Tunisia, two countries that just got out of the frying pan. And later in the broadcast, we will have James Corbett of thecorbettreport.com. He's going to help break down the Middle East crisis, and we're going to talk about the rise of global government, which, of course, the Middle East arc of crisis, destabilization, kind of juicy region is a big part of. But we will get into that later. And then in the third hour, we're going to have a replay of Catherine Austin Fitz, and that is all coming up after the break. Right now, we want to cover some of the Libya stuff. Obama's humanitarian conquest of Libya, that's Paul Joseph Watson from today. When his predator drone attack kills 90% innocents, president suddenly develops a conscience for human suffering. Here we have Obama given the Nobel Peace Prize, supposedly on the idea that he's going to end war in the Middle East, but instead he's just gearing up for a wider war. And we can only pray that doesn't become World War III or Iran or anything really big. We also have Kurt Nimmo. The Libyans say no thanks to globalist intervention. These are the rebel forces that are held up in the eastern city of Benghazi. And they have said foreign intervention would not be welcome, the Daily Caller reports. They do not want foreign intervention. They want to deal with Gaddafi on their own terms. We have, of course, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. We have John McCain. We have Joe Lieberman all working in the region, trying to kick this thing off under whatever pretext they will walk away with. Right now, they're going to use the humanitarian buzzword, it appears. An old favorite, if you go back to, I'll bring this up later, Jim Tucker has always talked about how the Bilderbergers love those smaller humanitarian reasons, just like the wars in the Balkans, rather than the bigger wars like Iraq. They had to fight in Bilderberg for the Iraq war, but they love the smaller scale stuff where the U.S. and the world government forces, the United Nations and NATO, tend to look better as though they're doing something good, but really it's a you break it, you buy it policy, and they are shifting everything in the Middle East right now, particularly in Libya. We also have Egypt bans gold exports. Egypt is not allowing gold, at least for individuals, to go out of the country at the moment. A decree banning the export of gold in all of its forms, including jewelry and ornaments, was issued by newly appointed Trade Minister Samir Al-Sayed, and it takes effect immediately until June 30th. That will surely have repercussions on the world market. That's in Reuters. And, of course, we have Egypt looking to rewrite its constitution as it's currently under military control. That will be interesting to see how that develops. Then we have things like DNA genetic pat-down introduced by airports. And they're going to be using this on immigrants and other people. But we know it's going to spread wider. More on that when we get back. And Alex Jones on The View, injecting real issues through the pop culture. When we get back, this is InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. I'm Aaron Dykes.
There's mounting evidence suggesting that there are people, governments, corporations, and whole professions intent on short-circuiting humanity's well-being. GMO, food legislation protecting big agriculture, the attempted elimination of vitamins and alternative medicines. It seems their hand has been tipped. They want to dictate your health, wealth, and your longevity. Whatever the outcome, we have a solution. Wild edible food. Why worry about food when all has been provided? We imagine that we were ejected from the garden and never invited back, but the garden's still here. There is an endless wild abundance which grows all over our green earth, just waiting for you to wake up and see it. Let author Linda Runyon teach you how to see, know, get, prepare, store, and eat wild edible food. Save money, add nutrition, and ignore the noise when you go shopping in nature's supermarket. Go to ofthefield.com and get started today. Or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE. That's ofthefield.com or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and begin to see a different world.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
As we're finishing off this agenda, they'll be pulling the rug from underneath Americans at home.
A tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
The fall of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches. And the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at Infowars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Who is Sam Andy? Sam Andy Foods is life insurance in a can. Life insurance you can eat. Sam Andy Foods has been serving loyal customers worldwide for over 50 years. Why so long? Simple. Sam Andy Foods have perfected the taste and quality of low moisture foods. Foods that last 15 to 25 years. And that's made us an industry leader among families, sportsmen, outdoorsmen, churches, schools, people living in remote areas, U.S. troops in wartime, and many others. Sam Andy is America's leading supplier of over 100 high-quality, low-moisture products and everything you need to survive in any emergency. Visit SamAndy.com today for your free full-color catalog and free trial subscription to the Survival Times newsletter. That's SamAndy.com. Just like it sounds, SamAndy.com. Or call toll-free 1-888-331-0358. Your one-stop shop for everything your family needs to prepare for any emergency. Sam Andy Foods. Life insurance in a can.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are back on Infowars.com, the Alex Jones Show. I am Aaron Dykes filling in till Alex gets back. He's in New York as we speak. He just came off of The View, the ABC show that has over 30 million viewers. He was on live talking about the Charlie Sheen celebrity, what would be a distraction. But Alex took the opportunity and really pulled a true Infowars interjection of real media issues when they had him on to discuss celebrity, you know, Charlie's drug situation, whether he's off drugs or on drugs, and what's going on with the show. I don't know. I do know Charlie Sheen has been a good friend to 9/11 Truth for all these years. It was almost 5 years ago that he broke in and came on this show and raised some serious questions with his big celebrity name and really got a lot of people to take a closer look at 9/11, which, of course, later led to the C-SPAN conference. We'll get back into that in a minute. Right now, we want to play that clip from The View. Alex Jones on just this morning, February 28th, only a few minutes ago, and we're going to play that right now and then break it down for you.
You just saw a question of an interview that Charlie Sheen did with ABC correspondent Amanda Canning, and where he passionately defends his lifestyle of drug use and partying. But it all started with a radio show rant last Thursday that prompted CBS to cancel the rest of the season of his hit sitcom. And we just want to show you a little bit of the clip, and then you'll meet the man he was talking to. Take a look.
Chaim Levine, yeah, that's Chuck's real name, mistook this rock star for his own selfish exit strategy, bro. Check it, Alex. I embarrassed him in front of his children and the world by healing at a pace that his unevolved mind cannot process. Okay, last I checked, Chaim, I've spent, I think, close to the last decade, I don't know, effortlessly and magically converting your tin cans into pure gold.
Well, joining now is the radio show host and close friend of Charlie Sheen, the man he was talking to, Alex Jones. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. If I could just say one thing, I've known Charlie for about 6.5 years. He's never drunk alcohol, used drugs in front of me. He's been completely clean for almost a decade until about 7 months ago. Now he's come off the drugs and the alcohol, which is almost like, you know, being off your meds. It has the same effect. So he's supercharged. He's angry. He's focused. And I know that when they interviewed him at his house, because I talked to him, they interviewed him for about 2 hours. And that's a little kind of joke that's out of context. He's tired of being judged. And him being held up as the ultimate demon in this world. He didn't kill 1 million people in Iraq. He wasn't involved with the takedown of Building 7 here in New York. And he thinks there's bigger devils out there than himself. And Chuck Lorre's put out a whole bunch of these cue cards while having management tell him a month ago, if you speak out against 4 episodes being cut, we're going to fire you. Then he starts putting out all of these. Chuck Lorre. He starts putting out vanity cards, not just on 2.5 Men, but on other shows, saying Charlie Sheen is dead inside and soulless. You didn't show the worst one there. And so Charlie's told, we're tying your hands. Now we're going to beat you up for whatever contract negotiations.
Let me ask you. So the question that I have is, so you're saying Chuck Lorre started this?
With the vanity card.
With the vanity card.
And up front had management, according to Charlie, and I've been there when he's on the phone with his management, or his manager comes over.
You're too fast for me, baby. Slow down.
Well, I know we don't have a lot of time. I'm getting on record.
Right.
They told him, before he said a word, they said, we're doing this, and if you criticize it, you're going to be fired. And he said, why are you telling me this? You know, I'm going through a hard time right now. But he didn't understand it then. I think they're trying to make him quit or something, so I have to pay out his contract or the $100 million in syndication. I think there's some shenanigans going on here. And then they start putting these things out. Then they start putting these vanity cards out, trying to prod him and push him.
I don't know what vanity cards are. I don't think people know.
Okay, most shows have a logo at the end, you know, like a little dog or the MGM lion. Chuck Lorre has these big write-ups at the end of his show. And imagine at the end of the show with Charlie Sheen and other CBS shows.
This is on air.
This is on air, saying this man is soulless. This man is dead inside.
Let me ask you this. Do you think, because from that clip that we saw, a lot of people would ascertain, okay, or assume that Charlie was on drugs again. You say he wasn't. Do you think
he's taking blood tests?
Do you think he's?
I've been at his house when they come in, take the blood, take the urine.
I take your word.
I was there 2 weeks ago.
Do you? I hear you. Do you think he's manic depressive? I mean, as a friend, do you say, okay, this is something else? You guys are missing the boat. It's not the drugs. He's actually suffering from manic depressive disorder.
Let's just remember, you know, Charlie's been a star. Charlie's been a star for 30 years, and all people know about is these episodes where he explodes. The Charlie Sheen I know is a compassionate guy who's really smart.
Episodes where he explodes.
He was saying,
you know, this is the best thing that happened to the people who were with me. They're never going to regret it. They had
magic.
The best. And, you know, this is on drugs, tearing up rooms and hotels. What about that explosion?
I know this. I don't use illegal drugs, but when I quit smoking, I've had a long battle with that. I feel horrible for a week, and about a week later, my wife says, please, just go back to smoking sometimes because I get so manic. And I think we have a similar physiology. A lot of people have that physiology.
He was not giving it up at that point. He was on the drugs and booze.
Oh, you're talking about the last few months.
Do you think there's something underlying here that people are missing as a friend?
I just think that he's somebody going through a hard time who got clean, and that's why I went out to California to help him. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's wrong for them to be prodding him, yes, and demonizing him and trying to make him blow up. That's actually what I believe is going on here. They should all just shake hands, bury the hatchet, come together for the crew of 2.5 Men. I want try to support Charlie, but also Chuck Lorre, everybody else. But understand what happened.
Okay, so you're worried about him.
But Charlie's tired of being held up like the devil. We got the TSA putting their hand down people's pants. finance. Infowars.com covers it all. We've got the banks bankrupting the U.S.
Wait. Let's stick with Charlie, because that's way too much.
No,
for me,
Charlie,
man.
Is mad.
I understand.
Because he's held up
I understand that.
He didn't steal $23.7 trillion.
Okay, but we're just here to figure out what is happening with Charlie. That's what we're trying to figure out.
And he's doing interviews now, so he has a chance to speak for himself. And
but they're taken out of context.
They are not there.
Oh, they've been comparing him to Gaddafi.
Look, I was just saying, I don't think I
Let's compare George Bush, a million-dollar Iraqi, to Gaddafi. Tortured, secret arrest, America turning into a police state.
I think we were here to talk about Charlie Sheen. I'm not trying to cut you off.
Charlie says you have a right to kill him, but not to judge him, Carol Kirk said.
Thank you. You are certainly a wonderful friend.
And helping
Thank you.
Charlie, stay clean. We love you. And everybody else out there, stay clean. Don't use drugs. Infowars.com.
That's a good message. Okay.
Infowars.com.
All right. When we come back, I was serious.
Infowars.com. Okay. That is Alex Jones using the media tool for what it's there for, to interject real issues. There's over 30 million viewers on The View. You've seen a lot of really influential people go on there, even though they just cover celebrity news. You've got all these people trapped in that false world of celebrity news, petty issues of who's dating who and who went where. And Alex directly took it on and tried to interject, bring people back to the real issues, torture, secret arrest. He mentioned that over a million dead Iraqis. He mentioned that Building 7 was collapsed. He mentioned how TSA is sticking their hands down people's pants. He's mentioned how over $23.7 trillion have been looted and stolen through this whole derivative scam. He mentioned how Charlie is being compared with Gaddafi. And here we have petty celebrity issues. And, you know, we don't know what's going on with Charlie Sheen, but we wish him well. It's his personal life. And then we have real issues going on in the world, Gaddafi and the rest of it. And somehow Charlie is supposed to be of equal weight. But that's just the cycle of celebrity news. That's the way it goes. But I thought Alex did an amazing job of really trying to bring people back around to what's really important in this world, albeit on a celebrity show that covers these kind of topics day in and day out. But you have seen The View cover other substantial topics. And Rosie O'Donnell really put herself on the line and used that platform to cover a lot of 9/11 truth issues. And now Alex, live on the show, is using it to cover 9/11 and other issues, really. And they, you know, they didn't want to talk about the Bush issues, how controversial it is that Bush just blatantly lied about WMDs, invaded Iraq without a real pretext, why we're still in Afghanistan after almost a decade, why Obama, who supposedly is supposed to be ending these wars, is just expanding them. And, you know, now we see everything going on in northern Africa. It's just an expansion of the Mideast tension that's been going on. And so how refreshing for a bunch of housewives to see questions they may not even be familiar with. What is he talking about, a million dead Iraqis? They never reported that on the mainstream news. Certainly, Building 7 has been little reported except on the alternative news. It's very interesting. Last week, we just saw heard about Mancow's interview with Donald Rumsfeld. Said he had never heard about Building 7. Certainly a blatant lie, but at least he's being asked these questions. Just before that, he had been asked at the CPAC conference what happened to those missing $2.3 trillion the Pentagon admitted it couldn't account for. Rumsfeld just lied again and said, well, it was always there. The point is, we see these questions still being raised after the Bush administration has faded away as they're trying to rebrand themselves. Even so, we see that those things are not forgotten. Anyway, being what it is, The View, I think Alex did an excellent job. I'm sure he'll be calling in as soon as he can to tell us what happened behind the scenes and what he thought would happen. But you saw Barbara Walters and Whoopi Goldberg didn't really want to talk about the things Alex brought up. They just wanted to get back to the Charlie Sheen issues, and that is what it is. But we need to bring up these other issues as well. Now, when we get back, we are going to get into the Middle East, and we'll be hearing from Alex soon. I'm Aaron Dykes for InfoWars. Alex will be back tomorrow, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Collapse of the dollar is imminent. You can protect your wealth by buying gold, silver, and strong foreign currencies, but what if the government confiscates your precious metals, implements exchange controls, or nationalizes your retirement? You need a backup plan. That's why you must move your wealth into an offshore asset protection structure. Go to collapseproof.com to get your free special report and discover how to store your gold and silver in the world's safest vaults, or how to hold foreign currencies in a way that's safe from bank failures, bank runs, or exchange controls. Learn how the U.S. government failed to collect a $36 million claim because the defendant legally used an offshore asset protection program. This is what you need to keep your wealth safe when the dollar collapses, and CollapseProof.com can help. Our programs are 100% compliant with U.S. law, but you must act now before it's too late. Call 800-798-2008. That's 800-798-2008. CollapseProof.com. Asset protection in financially unsafe times.
A very wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your own family. Now, this man has made some outrageous predictions over the years. The crazy part is, he's usually right. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties. In fact, Barron's called his work a dire prophecy. Recently, he created a video, which you can watch online for free, detailing his biggest and most important prediction yet, and it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.endofamerica3.com. That's endofamerica3.com. Watch the free video at www.endofamerica3.com. That's endofamerica3.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher-safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793. 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
Back at InfoWars.com, I am Aaron Dykes, filling in for Alex Jones. And as we just heard, he was in New York on ABC's The View, talking to more than 30 million viewers, really about the Charlie Sheen celebrity business, but he interjected as many real issues as he could, including Building 7, the death toll in Iraq, and more. And the only other thing I want to say about Charlie Sheen is he's been fighting this 9/11 issue really for almost 5 years publicly. It was in March 2006 when I started here at InfoWars. Almost 5 years ago to the day, tomorrow it will be. And it was only a couple weeks after that that Charlie came on, and first went public for 9/11 Truth. And ever since, he put on the 9/11 conference in Los Angeles that was picked up by C-SPAN and reached millions. And then a couple years after that, he came out with his 20 Minutes to the President, a really strong and bold challenge to President Obama to address the outstanding questions on 9/11, to not be the warmonger that he was apparently fitted in the suit to be, to expand these wars in the Middle East. Sheen really laid down the gauntlet and asked some real questions that are a lot bigger than his personal life. We wish him well. Whatever he's involved in really is his personal business. But here we have Alex taking kind of the celebrity culture and milking it to try to get people back into mainstream issues. And so if Sheen has launched that again for us and brought more viewers to us to cover real topics because of his celebrity scandals and what's going on with his TV show, that could be good for us in a way. But moving on to more directly substantial news, we really see commodities, oil, everything else is flaring up because of the tensions in the Middle East. And adding to that tension is the fact that Egypt is banning gold exports. The miners say they will not be affected. We have a military dictatorship temporarily ruling in Egypt until they potentially rewrite their constitution and until they have elections. What they say probably will be 4 months. It could be a lot longer, but for the time being, we have Egypt on Sunday banned the export of gold for the next 4 months, a measure bankers said seemed aimed at preventing businessmen and former government officials who acquired capital illegally from transferring it abroad. An official from a gold mine in Egypt says he was confident it was not aimed at gold production, but at individual exports. A decree banning the export of gold in all its forms, including jewelry and ornaments, was issued by newly appointed Trade Minister Samira Said. It will take effect immediately. So they say it's targeted at individuals, I guess in theory, to stop looting, but I would only imagine it puts a little bit of pressure on the gold market, and that is Egypt bans gold exports. In another area of news, we have this whole thing where Homeland Security now thinks it could take your DNA in the name of stopping human trafficking and illegal trade of various kinds. They say DNA genetic pat-down will be introduced to airports by DHS. Of course, it's going to be targeted at foreigners and immigrants first, but we know better. It's going to come around to affect almost everyone. Already the measures at the airport are far too invasive, but the protests really will only expand into greater technology. Interesting how that works, that when people say no, they don't want to be patted down, they don't want to go through an x-ray body scanner, they don't think that there's a reason to violate the Fourth Amendment just to fly on a plane. Here we see, even though they're standing down, currently at airports, even at LAX and really big airports across the country, they are mainly not doing pat-downs because of all the backlash of public, lack of public support, but yet they're rolling out these other measures. Here we have DNA genetic pat-down introduced by airports by DHS. A new level of invasive screening is scheduled for airports this summer. A portable DNA scanner to conduct on-site real-time genetic testing. Real-time genetic testing. This technology is being implemented under the cover of combating human trafficking, illegal immigration, and finding missing persons. But Richard Selden of NetBio, creator of the scanners, clearly states that DNA information has the potential part of the fabric of day-to-day life. So first, they have x-ray body scanners that they claim they don't save the image. They claim they can't see your naked genitalia. All lies. And now they're going to take actual DNA samples. This is an activist post reading. We also have a Mike Adams Natural News, and I see we're coming up on that break, so we'll just continue on the other side. But how dare TSA? How dare Homeland Security first try to cop a feel and then try to get your actual DNA. How dangerous is this technology going to become? We're going to talk about some of those questions on the other side. I'm Aaron Dykes, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. We will be back after the break.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power. Regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, Oregacillin Physician Strength Capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
They helped to create a new world order.
We are part of a new world order.
A new world order based upon collective action.
Invisible Empire is a damning indictment of the globalists through their own words and documents.
The new world order really is a tool for addressing a new world of possibilities.
It means all the world under their control.
The United Nations would take over America. The Trilateral Commission would control the world.
Invisible Empire chronicles how men of power and influence have worked in stealth for centuries to establish an oppressive world government.
I believe, first of all, that we now need nothing short of a world constitution for the global financial system.
Global governance with the establishment of the G20.
So it's going to be an inner ruling elite and then everyone else. And I got news for you. You're everyone else.
Invisible Empire. Secure your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. Or watch you online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
There's a man named Dr. Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor. Both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician, Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, taking charge of their life, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs leading to side effects. This is clearly a deadly recipe. The good news is Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government and big pharma manipulation of our healthcare system. I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare and have joined forces to help this tireless crusader spread his message. Visit InfoWarsTeam.com and listen to Dr. Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I want you to join our InfoWars team. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
And odors half the point. That's the point of pomade. I really like that movie of Brother Huerta. We are back at Infowars.com. I am Aaron Dykes. That intro music is from Oh Brother Where Art Thou. We're going to be joined by Alex in just about 10 or 15 minutes. He's going to break down his appearance on The View, and who knows, whatever he saw backstage. I don't know if he got a chance to talk with the talent. But he was just on with over 30 million viewers, and I'm on with probably a fraction of that, but we are still reaching millions around the world and having a big impact. Some breaking news from the New York Times, February 28th. Obama set to ease health law requirements. Seeking to appease disgruntled governors, Obama plans to announce on Monday he supports amending the 210 health care law to allow states to opt out of its most burdensome requirements 3 years earlier than currently permitted. Senior administration officials said Obama would reveal to the National Governors Association in a speech on Monday morning that he backs the legislation that would enable states to request federal permission to withdraw from the law's mandates in 2014 rather than 2017. So whatever happens in the grander scheme, we definitely see there's a great deal of opposition to the health care law. Alaska, among others, has said just outright, no, we're not going to implement this. And right now, most of the governors are in Washington, D.C., meeting with Obama. And obviously, the health care stuff is at the top of the list, and he is at least nominally caved on certain issues. We will see how things play out down the road. But back in this other issue, we have DHS and TSA looking to bring a DNA swab, a DNA test, a live full DNA scan at the airport if you fall, at least at first, under the foreigner, immigrant, we don't know your background, your unverified kind of status. But how quickly is that going to branch out into everyone? We're going to see, because we know there is so much more going on with DNA. Let's check out Natural News, Mike Adams. After touching your junk, the TSA wants to scan and harvest your DNA. As if it's not enough for the TSA to fill you up at the airport, they are now experimenting with rapid results DNA scanners that can scan and analyze your DNA using just a drop of saliva. Just a drop. Spit at the TSA agent who is molesting you, in other words, and they can use that saliva to scan your DNA and then store it in a government database. Why would they want to do that? We can only imagine. Remember, it was Alex Jones who broke the story about hospitals secretly taking blood samples of babies, handing them over to the federal government for use in National Genetic Database. The government routinely steals genetic material for people for its own nefarious purposes, as does the pharmaceutical industry. For example, the medical industry's so-called HeLa cells, which have been exploited for decades by vaccine and drug companies, were harvested and stolen decades ago without permission or consent. It's never without permission or consent, and we know it's not benign. We know there's been a national DNA registry database going on for almost 40 years, I believe, and what they're doing with that DNA is unfathomable in some ways. We know the eugenicists will be using it for race-specific bioweapons. They'll be using it, sure, for a little bit of ancestry and where did you come from and who are your forebears, but they will also be using it in the military-industrial complex to build very specific, very high-tech weapons. And that is all scary enough. Back in the activist post, the current focus on DNA extraction and databasing is a well-known globalist initiative stated by the UN to register every newborn. This initiative has the full support of globalist and population control advocates. Bill Gates, of course, who would like to see a universal birth registry that would presumably tie in to his universal vaccine program. Additionally, globalist behemoths such as the RAND Corporation have issued documents that identify an interest in biotechnology for the purpose of population reduction, cloning, to identify, understand, manipulate, improve, and control living organisms. That's right. When they build vaccines, it would be very useful to have a large sample of DNA. And where are they going to get it? Hospitals, of course, would be first. But now the idea that they would be taking it from an airport test, it's difficult to deal with because it's such a violation of the Fourth Amendment. It's such a gross continuation of really quickly, rapidly expanding power. Homeland Security existed prior to 2001 9/11 attacks, but it didn't gain power until the Patriot Act. And since that time, we've just seen a crazy power grab. You know, first you got to take off your shoes. First they got to scan your luggage. Then you got to go through an X-ray machine. Then you have to get patted down and have your genitalia touched. And now it's going to come to a genetic pat down, a DNA test. And they say they can do it in under an hour, and it'll be very cheap, only $100. So I'm sure that's all the more reason that lots of people will have to put up with that. And it's just sickening. But the far bigger news is definitely going on in the Middle East. And Alex will be joining us momentarily. But until that time, I wanted to read part of Paul Joseph Watson's Obama's Humanitarian Conquest of Libya. And this is all about how they're going to use these crises to gain greater control in the region, the Middle East and Northern Africa. It's really all along what they call an arc of crisis, all the way from Eastern Europe down through North Africa, through the Middle East, over into Eastern Asia, and it just kind of wraps around crescent shape, conveniently encircling Russia, putting China on the spot. It's really been part of the stratagem since pre-World War II. Spikeman developed coined the term Rimland, but today you would probably recognize it as Zbigniew Brzezinski's grand chessboard. And here on the microcosm to do with Libya, we see, you know, Gaddafi has really kicked in his heels. He's standing his ground, while the rebels in the east have really gained steam. We have, before President Barack Obama even took office, we warned that his administration would continue to follow the Bush-era policy of bankrupting both America, both financially and morally, with new wars, but that these conquests would be done in the name of humanitarian crisis rather than a preemptive assault, because that's the whole Democrats' thing. The Republicans always go in strong arm, using the straightforward tactics, preemptive war, but the Democrats are just as warlike. They've continued all these things for all these decades, but they prefer to go in a Balkan style as the overseers, the globalist friendlies, if you will, just overseeing the splits and the regional divides, truly in just the most direct fashion, using divide and conquer to take over the region. We see that Paul Watson writes, the international crisis that Vice President Joe Biden warned Obama would face has now arrived, with the increasingly chaotic situation in Libya forging a pretext for military intervention on behalf of the United States, NATO, and the United Nations. The prevalence of U.S. military-industrial complex, even under a government that promised peace, was guaranteed all along. Under a democratic administration, wars remain the health of the state. Only the rhetoric behind their justification is different. By citing humanitarian concerns as a pretext, the Obama administration could send U.S. troops into battle safe in the knowledge that they can rely on left cover. The vitriol that accompanied Bush's foreign adventures will be non-existent. And we will really see if the anti-war left steps up to the challenge and denounces this intervention in Libya. We have a companion to that article, Kurt Nimmo, Libyans, no thanks to globalist intervention. So even the rebels dealing with Gaddafi do not want the United Nations, do not want NATO, do not want Secretary Clinton in their country telling them how to operate things. But then it goes back. I went to the Bilderberg Conference in 2006 and 2008 protesting with Alex Jones, meeting with Jim Tucker, who has been following this for what seems like millennia, something like 30 years, the Bilderberg Group. And he's really tracked how the Balkan War was something they liked because it was low-key and there were very few critics, very few watchful eyes seeing what's going on as they divided the former Yugoslavian region into all the smaller countries. We see Croatia is protesting even today. But they really liked the humanitarian intervention causes in that area, and they're going to use it again in the Middle East because it's a lot of mental energy. It's a lot of sure, they have good things when they go in strong for the Iraq war, the Afghanistan war, but they do have to have a pretext. And simply put, humanitarian is one of the easiest sells for them. But they really like how it doesn't draw as much criticism. But war is war, and Obama was supposed to bring our troops back from the region, and he's brought back a token amount from Iraq. More contractors went in. But we really see now how he's expanding a wider regional war. We can only hope it doesn't involve Iran, although we know they've been eyeing them all along. We can only hope something like a World War III doesn't come up from this. More from Kurt Nimmo's article. Following Secretary of State Clinton's call for intervention, a rebel leader in Libya has stated his country does not want or need any help from the United States and its globalist partners. Hafiz Goga, a spokesman for the newly formed National Libyan Council in the rebel-controlled eastern city of Benghazi, said foreign intervention would not be welcome, the Daily Caller reports. The rest of Libya will be liberated by the people, and Gaddafi's security forces will be eliminated by the people of Libya. Now, all this stuff is happening while there's over 100,000 what they're calling refugees, which feeds right into the humanitarian pretext. We have something on the order of 55,000 trying to head back to Egypt on the right. another part of that balance headed to Tunisia, the smaller country to the left of Libya. It really is interesting how those three countries flared up in a very regional context, all having protests at the same time. We also see there's protests in Oman, really just all over the place. They're reporting that Oman protests will not stop the oil flow, at least not yet. But we're going to see a lot of pressure on those kind of things coming up in the future. More on the Egypt situation, behind the scenes of Egypt's revolution. I'm not sure I can pronounce this name. It's out of the Hurriyet Daily News. That's Turkey. And they really call out some of the geostrategic motives behind the Egypt revolution. And skipping down a few paragraphs, they really talk about how following the breakup of the Soviet Empire, the proliferation of color revolutions throughout former communist countries also appeared spontaneous and driven by the popular will. However, in hindsight, it has come to light that that their organization and planning was funded by the West. So all the things you saw happening after the fall of the Soviet Empire that seemed spontaneous, in hindsight, were not as spontaneous. Will that be the case with Egypt, with Libya, with Tunisia, with the rest of them? We'll see, but I think there's a good case for it. They go on to say, rather than spontaneous and popular, nowadays these revolutions have often been called orchestrated. The people of Ukraine, Georgia, Kyrgyzstan were all manipulated by U.S. intelligence agencies and NGOs like the Freedom House and the Albert Einstein Institute to overthrow their Russian leadership. And we know the same Freedom House, the same Albert Einstein Institute, the same pro-Western, pro-democracy demonstrations, the thing that happened at Columbia University. We all know they're part of this online Twitter generation revolution that's happening in the Middle East. So what's this about the recent events in Egypt? Is the Middle East now being remade in the shadow of Zbigniew Brzezinski's Arc of Crisis? In this context, Gene Sharp and the Albert Einstein Institute appear crucial. Sharp, also known as the Machiavelli of Nonviolence or the Clausewitz of Nonviolent Warfare, has written a great many books on civilian-based defense and democracy that could serve as blueprints from popular uprisings against authoritarian regimes. On the Institute's website, many books, such as From Dictatorship to Democracy, are available. So they just go into how the NGOs really working for NATO and Western interest. And in particular, how WikiLeaks revealed that the U.S. had been trying to topple the Egyptian president for more than 3 years. And so that stuff is just shocking. And we also see Egypt aims to alter the voting rules. So while it's under a military dictatorship, they are going to rewrite the Constitution. They have a committee set up, but there's a lot of critics of that committee who are not happy with the way it's been set up and don't think the reforms are going to go deep enough. So we have this great revolution happening, and people are wondering if a so-called democracy can be the result. We'll certainly see, but it's, you know, tenuous at best. I read what Charles Krauthammer had written. I don't agree with much of what he says, but he's right in saying that everyone has a right to be happy after the first few days of the revolution. But this isn't 1789. This isn't the French Revolution anymore. And we're a lot wiser to some of the tricks that can happen after the fact, after the cause for celebration. We see Egypt uprising repudiates Al-Qaeda. So says John McCain. John McCain and none other than Lieberman are visiting the area and trying to influence Egypt after the toppling of Hosni Mubarak. This revolution is a repudiation of Al-Qaeda, Senator John McCain, an Arizona Republican, said after talks with Arab League chief Amer Moussa. This revolution has shown the people of the world, not just in the Arab world, that peaceful change can come about from the violence and extremism that is now required in order to achieve democracy and freedom. So you're going to have democracy not just at the barrel of a gun, but at the barrel of humanitarian aid, at the barrel of Senator McCain, Lieberman, and Clinton's design. Before the revolution, they said, it was thought there were only two choices. On the one hand, a secular dictatorship. On the other hand, a fear of religious extremist dictatorship, Lieberman said. There is a third way, that Egypt has shown the world that it's a peaceful democratic future and that it's inclusive of the widest range of people. That certainly is very hopeful, but whether or not it's realistic, we will see in due time. We have Farrakhan saying that the Middle East uprisings will come to the U.S., and he has called upon President Obama to allow protesters to march, urging the president not to attack innocent people. I don't know if that's that extreme. I don't, you know, it comes off almost as a joke, because you wouldn't expect Obama to fire on protesters. But there in Wisconsin, we do see the National Guard being mobilized to potentially be used against protesters. And if Obama would do the same, if things spread to a more national protest, we would really see what happens. Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam leader, predicted on Sunday that America faces imminent uprisings that mirror those of the Middle East. What you are looking at in Tunisia, in Egypt, in Libya, in Bahrain, will what you see happening there. You'd better prepare because it will be coming to your door, Farrakhan said in a booming voice. Thousands of followers cheering in his wake. Farrakhan again asked Obama to allow protesters to march, urging the president not to attack innocent people. And that is what they do in foreign countries, and we only hope it doesn't come to the U.S. But we can see the flare point is coming. And we will be back after this break. Alex Jones will be joining us shortly. I don't know his exact schedule in New York. He was just on ABC's The View.
This is not a drill.
Repeat.
This is not a drill.
Gun sales are on a staggering pace.
Gun prices are going through the roof, and that means desperate, vicious criminals now want your guns
and will do anything to get them.
Now, a new book reveals powerful secrets for hiding your guns from thieves and looters. You'll learn step-by-step, battle-hardened techniques, where to hide your guns so criminals will never find them,
how to create the perfect hiding place,
as well as the places you should never hide your guns
under any circumstance.
These and other closely guarded gun caching secrets are guaranteed to keep your weapons safe and out of sight when the going gets tough.
But listen up.
For security reasons, the Hide Your Guns book and even the website may disappear without warning at any time. Go to hideyourguns.com.
That's hideyourguns.com.
Or call 877-327-0365.
Before they come for your guns.
Hideyourguns.com right now.
Right now.
A very wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your own family. Now, this man has made some outrageous predictions over the years. The crazy part is, he's usually right. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties. In fact, Barron's called his work a dire prophecy. Recently, he created a video, which you can watch online for free, detailing his biggest and most important prediction yet, and it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.endofamerica3.com. That's endofamerica3.com. Watch the free video at www.endofamerica3.com. That's endofamerica3.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. Day complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
Okay, we are back. It is Aaron Dykes in for Alex. We are waiting on him to pop in the next few minutes. But until he does, all this stuff going on in Libya is really coming to a flashpoint. We have world leaders uniting against Gaddafi. We have Obama calling for Gaddafi's immediate departure. We have old friend Tony Blair, who had a close relationship with Gaddafi, now telling him to stop killing Libyan protesters. And so all the world is really saying, you know, you're no good, Gaddafi, even though the things our country does, that the globalists do are far worse or on the same scale. Of course, firing on protesters is abhorrent and in no way defensible. But then again, Gaddafi's one of these leaders. He's now the longest serving current non-royal leader. And there's so many dictators in Africa. I have the list somewhere here. He's on his 41st year, and I believe there are, I'm not sure how many other, but I've got my list here. Gaddafi, 41 years, 180 days. He's the number one for non-royal leaders, longest serving. Cameroon, Paul Biya, 35 years. Ali Abdul Saleh in North Yemen, 32 years. Equatorial Guinea, the leader's name is Mbasogo. He's been in there for 31 years. Jose Eduardo de los Santos in Angola for 31 years. Mugabe in Zimbabwe, 30 years. Iranian, the supreme leader in Iran anyway, has been in there 29 years, Ali Khamenei. Cambodia's leader has been in there 26 years. Uganda, 26 years. Burkina Faso for 23 years. Of course, not all in Africa, but quite a few of them in Africa. So there is an issue with dictators and so-called presidents overstaying their welcome. And, of course, on the surface, it would be nice if countries like Egypt did take on constitutional amendments, two-term limits, eight-year total, very U.S.-style. Of course, it's good on the surface, but the important thing is who's manipulating the strings behind the scenes. And with McCain, Clinton, and the rest in the region, that's, of course, very suspect. And, of course, we see McCain and Lieberman are asking the U.S. to fund the opposition in Libya, to put arms and money in the hands of the anti-Gaddafi leaders. And Gaddafi is no one to love, although he is very colorful. But I think this whole funding the opposition has gotten us into more trouble than it's worth, particularly in the Mideast region. The prime example would be Afghanistan, the Taliban leaders, the Mujahideen, that Brzezinski funded back in the late 70s covertly so that they could resist the Russians and the Soviet Empire in its way would break down in the graveyard of empires in Afghanistan. But it all comes around, what goes around, that is. And it's our turn to falter in the Middle East, in Afghanistan still, after nearly a decade. And now we're going to be funding more rebel leaders after just being criticized for backing Mubarak and funding him and giving him arms, allowing him to dig in for over 30 years in Egypt. Now we want to fund more opposition leaders in Libya just to oust Gaddafi. Meanwhile, going in there under a humanitarian crisis, I think it might be better to take a Ron Paul stature and just get our troops home. Let's let that region be. Let's be friends with them. Let's advise them. And we shouldn't allow them to shoot protesters, but let's be very careful. We'll be back after the break. Infowars.com.
Listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.